Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to this program, Al Fiqhu ala al Madahib al Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. The date today is the 8th of Muharram, 1445. Corresponding to their Gregorian calendar, the 27th of July, 2023. Let's welcome our Honorable Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Saab Damat Barakatuh. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa zaid khan. Jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab, how is your trip going in Durban currently?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد all praise due to Almighty Allah the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. First and foremost, every one of us, every true Muslim, today, before Zuhur, after Zuhur, read 2 rakat salat, the apartheid regime have invaded Masjid al-Aqsa today also, and the donkey, that's the only word we can describe to him, and that is Itamar bin Gvir, entered Masjid al-Aqsa today for the third time, and obviously the terrorist settlers who are accompanying him, and all this is to provoke the Muslims throughout the world. So we should be very, very concerned. You must remember this, that these haramis and the super terrorists, these are terrorists according to Israeli law and were charged as terrorists also. And the Haaretz newspaper said Smotrich is a war criminal. And Bibi Netanyahu, we all know that he is a serial liar and he's taking Israel towards, inshallah, their destruction one day, very soon, inshallah. So we all need to be aware of what is happening. All this happened this morning, Thursday morning. Here in South Africa, Southern Africa, it is the 8th of Muharram, 1445, and there it is the 9th of Muharram. And they know that the 9th and the 10th is very sacred to us. Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, hadith authentic in Bayhaqi, Sumu at-tasi'a wal-ashir, fast on the 9th and 10th, wa khaliful yahud, and go contrary to the Jews. They study, obviously, all our books and so forth, and they have their researchers and so forth. So an open act of provocation by the apartheid terrorist Nazi regime of Israel. But the Ummah needs to wake up, and all these Arab countries who have made so-called peace with Israel, the Saudis, they hang their heads in shame, MBS, Murtad bin Shaitan, and MBZ of Emirates, Murtad bin Zindiq, and then the kings of Jordan, Bahrain, Morocco, the Pharaoh there, you must remember, in Egypt. These are the biggest traitors and murtads in Islam, you must remember that. So now they can see that what this person is doing and who is fighting for Aqsa al-Mubarak, giving their lives and giving their children, the Palestinians, and these chaps are sitting in their comfort zone and they think they'll get away with it. Never will they get away with it. Allah will humiliate them in this world and everlasting Jahannam in the year after, unless they make sincere tawbah and repent publicly. Otherwise, there will be serious, serious consequences. So, O Ummah, make special, special dua for the Haramain Sharifain and for, you know, in the Haramain Sharifain, they can't speak one word against the Jews. They can't even make dua against them. That is courtesy of MBS Murtad bin Shaitan, who calls themselves the Khadimul Haramain Sharifain. They're not the Khadimul Haramain Sharifain, they're Khainul Haramain Sharifain. They are traitors, remember, to the Haramain Sharifain and to Aqsa al-Mubarak. And remember that when you speak, then they want to lock you up and so forth and so on. You see what is happening in all our three holy places. So, and these Salafi scholars, real scholars for dollars, who have sold their soul to the devil and shaitan. So you, the Ummah, esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and the Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah of Jama'ah, all of us, make two rakat salat, read Surah Yasin, give up charity. Allahumma alayka bil yahudi dhalimin al muhtallin al ghasibin. Ya Allah, you punish the juttas and the haramis. Ya Allah, decimate and destroy them. وَمَنْ وَعَلَاهُمْ and whoever are friends of them. Alhamdulillah, we came Tuesday and we had a wonderful program. Tuesday night we were there in Spine Road in Phoenix. And then every morning we have program here in the Musalla, here, mashallah. So just today I will tell you an incident. This one brother Ismail, African brother, yesterday I met him, today I met him. So he told me his mother is 95 years old and she's alive still. So I told him, make khidmat of her, serve her, and every dua she makes for you is accepted. So I asked him, do you live here? He said, no, I come from Chatsworth every day. He says he listened to me every day on the radio. So he wanted to meet me, you know. So imagine from Chatsworth, he comes here to Muslanga. So just to come and meet us and make salam. And he comes in the morning for your time, just for the advices and so forth. So this is how Almighty Allah, Jalla wa Ala, accepts people. May Allah accept us all. Allahumma ja'alna min al-maqbooleen. And then last night, wonderful program there. Alhamdulillah, there was in Phoenix, Spine Road, was Mawlana Abdul Qadir Kaji and Mawlana Saleji and them, Huzaifa Saleji. And yesterday was Mawlana Abid Khan and Mawlana Dawood Wahid and them. So tonight, inshallah, we will be there in Clay Estate, and that is, inshallah, at Masjid Mahmood. The two brothers are there, Mawlana Badat, the two Badats, and that is Mawlana Ibrahim Badat, Mawlana Muhammad Badat. So inshallah, we hope and pray Allah Jalla Ola make it the means of Hidayat, and Allah Ta'ala bring about the change and transformation in our lives. And Jummah tomorrow in Glennon Road, Sufi Masjid, where Hafiz Uwais is. And then tomorrow night, the big night, tomorrow night, the auspicious night of Ashura at Avondale Musalla, that is run by the Capital Group. So Allah Ta'ala make all these programs a success and a means of Hidayat with His mercy and with His grace, inshallah.
We heard Mufti Saab's clip where he said that after attending the masjid on Spine Road, your spine is now in tip-top condition.
Yeah, so today one brother in Fajr time, so I asked him, why are you sitting on the chair? He said his spine is paining, but he's so young, in his 28, 29, less than 30. So I told him, brother, you must read Alam Nashrah abundantly. Then your spine and your back and everything will be tip-top condition. I told him, then I joked with him. I said, I delivered a lecture day in Spine Road, and inshallah, our spine will remain straight also, and our bodies will remain straight, inshallah.
Inshallah, ameen. Coming to our topic, Mufti Saab, when is Ashura?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and one thing I forgot, I'm right here by the ocean, and it is a wonderful, beautiful day here. Yesterday also, you can't ask for anything better. And it's excellent, excellent, mashallah. So always we must ask Allah for afia. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afia. Ya Allah, grant us siha, afia, good health, good wealth, good honor, everything good that is permissible. And Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah, so that we become your beloved servants. And inshallah, that is all Allah Ta'ala's mercy. We don't deserve it. But He grants it to us, although we never ever entitled to it, nor do we deserve it. Okay, let's start our program now. So which day is Ashura? For us here in South Africa, Southern Africa, New Zealand, Mauritius, few countries in the world, remember tomorrow night, Friday night will be the night of Ashura, and Saturday will be the day of Ashura. But remember, majority of the countries, and this time they got it right, at least the Saudis and them. So remember that Ashura will start tonight, Thursday night, Maghrib time. And once the sun sets, that will usher in the night of Ashura. And the day of Ashura will be tomorrow, Friday. And if you look at it, subhanAllah, إن الزمان قد استدار على هيئته, which means that the time has come one full circle, you know. If you go to Karbala and you go the 61st year of the Hijrah, it was Ashura, 10th of Muharram, it was on a Friday, it was in Maidan-e-Tufuf, that is the place, the land and the sand, and the place is called Karbala in Iraq. In 2000, we went there, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, right to where the Ma'rika, the battle and Shahadat took place of Sayyidina Hussein, radiallahu ta'ala, anhu warda. So now it comes full circle again, Friday, day of Ashura, in most countries in the world, but in South Africa, Ashura will be tomorrow night, Friday night, and the day will be Saturday. So we all work with our own calendars, inshallah. Hello? Hello?
Mufti Saab, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
The Shia perspective of Ashura and Karbala, can Mufti Saab explain this for us?
Okay, we must understand that first you have to go to the belief of the Shias. So, that when did Shiaism start and what are their core beliefs? These are the most important things that we must understand. So number one is this, that Shiaism was not there during the time of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. During the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Shiaism started, remember, during the time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, in the latter portion of his Khilafat. And he ruled for 12 years from the 1st of Muharram, the year 24. And then remember that on the 18th of Zulhijjah, the year 35, so almost 12 years he ruled for Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. So this person here, Abdullah bin Sabah, came and he played like he's a Sufi. He was a member, like he's a very pious person and so forth and so on. And then you must remember, started spreading his poison and propaganda and so forth. Sayyidina Uthman did this, did that. And that is how this led to the martyrdom of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And where will you find this? That the founder of Shiaism is a Jew. And his name was Abdullah bin Sabah. You go to, we write it in our books, it has no value. Meaning the Shia says, your book, we don't accept it. So when we speak, we must give references of their books. So go open the Jalul Kashi. It's a famous book amongst the Shias. And in there also is mentioned that the founder of Shiaism, you must remember, is Abdullah bin Sabah. And this happened during the time and the reign of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa Allah. So that's one issue. Second issue, now what they say, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul wa ulil amri minkum. So they want to say that the ulil amri minkum refers to the 12 imams. So they say infallible imams. But if you read that verse, it's got nothing to do with the imams. If you know basic Arabic, you must remember that ulu, so ulil amri minkum, ulu, uli, is a plural of you. So which means that this is to do with the rulers. And the rulers will come and go, and then they will change. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, O you who believe, ati'u Allah, that you must be obedient to Almighty Allah. Wa ati'u Rasul. See the verb, ati'u, is, you must remember, a commandment, an injunction, is repeated also. So we must follow, be obedient to Almighty Allah, be obedient to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then by the Uli Amri Minkum, Ati'u is not mentioned. It means that they are not on par. And Uli is like Ulu Uli. So that is the ruler of you. Anadu Malin. I am the possessor of wealth. So this will change all the time. So then the next person will come and the next person will come. So here the rulers who are Muslim from you. Then Allah Ta'ala already debunks what the Kuffar Shia was saying. فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ. And if you have a dispute regarding any matter, any issue, فَرُدُّوهُ رُدُّ شَيْءٍ, then refer it, that issue, that matter, إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, to Almighty Allah and Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
مفتي
Now you see there, Wa'ulul Amri is not mentioned. So it shows it got nothing to do with the 12 Imams and that. In kuntum tu'minuna billahi wa yawmil akhir. If you really believe in Almighty Allah and the last day, Surah 4, chapter 4, verse number 59. So there already you can see, nowhere in the Quran Sharif is spoken about the 12 Imams. Yes, you must remember in the Ahadith we find it is spoken about the 12 Khalifas and so forth. But remember that it is not spoken about 12 Imams the way they say about it. And none of them were rulers besides Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anh and Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anh for a short period of 6 months. And no one else is Khalifa. So it shows already the hadith they're trying to use is not hujjatan lahum, is not a dalil for them, is dalil and evidence and proof against them. Is the evidence and proof against them. So what do they say? Who are their 12 Imams? And remember, they say Imam a'imma ma'sumin. They say that it is the Imams who are infallible and they on par with the Prophet. They are on par with the prophets and messengers, and they are some of them are even greater than the prophets and messengers. So this is kufr and this belief of the highest order. We should be very clear on all these type of things here. Thereafter, we should know who are them. First, they say, I'm using the Shia terminology. They say Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Imam Zainul Abidin. This Imam Zainul Abidin, you must remember his name, is vital and crucial because he gives testimony against the Shias because he's the eyewitness to what happened in Karbala. So, and it's written in their books and they gave it to me. And not one Shia in the world can reject it, you must remember that. So we go Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Imam Zainul Abidin, Imam Baqir, Imam Jafar. Those six they agree on. After that, they have difference of opinion. So you must remember that the Jafar Rahimahullah, so his son Musa Kazim. So that is what they say, the 12 verse, Isna Asharia. But you get others, they say, no, Ismail. So that's why you get the Ismaili Firqa, the Aga Khani and all of them. So you see among themselves, they got big problems there. And then that is number 7. Then number 8 is Hadi. Hadi is the only one that is buried in Iran. He's buried in a place called, you must remember, they called Mashhad. And millions, not thousands, millions of people throughout the year, they go there and to pay, you know, respect and venerate and so forth. We got no problem with that. We say the old Sunni got nothing to do with Shia. But the Shias have hijacked this and they themselves astray and leading others astray. So that is 8. Then you have Imam Taqi and Imam Naqi, as they say. And then you have Imam Hassan Askari, and that is 11. And now he had no sons, he had nothing. So then they cooked up the last one and fabricated it, Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Askari. You ask them, where is he? They say, no, he is Imam Allah. You understand, Mahdi, he is the last one, and he will come. But where is he? They will tell you, no, minor occultation and the major occultation. Minor occultation, al-ghaybugatu suhra, where people used to meet him and so forth and so on. And the major occultation, nobody can meet him. Their greatest work, you must remember how we say, after the Quran Sharif is Bukhari Sharif and so forth, they, the Kuffar Shias, they say Usulul Kafi. Usulul Kafi, the author, you must remember, is Kulaini. They say Kulaini met this person, this Imam. So the 12th Imam and so forth and so on. So everywhere they have to lie and lie. So when I ask them that how many centuries have passed, so they say now it's about almost 12 centuries. 1200 years that he is missing. You understood, he's in the cave. And they say he's got the real Quran. So in Usulul Kafi, it's written that 17,000 verses. And he's got it there hiding for 1,200 years almost. So when I debated with them, I said he must be very hungry and very thirsty. So they said, what you making a joke? Don't you know about Ashab-e Kahf that they stayed in the cave? I said, we read the verse. وَلَبِثُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ ثَلَاثَ مِائَةِ سِنِينَ وَازْدَادُوا تِسْعًا 300 solar years, 309 lunar years. But you're saying 1,200 years. So you're making him, you must remember, even greater. Then you must remember, then Hazrat, you must remember that Hazrat Mahdi, Ashabi Kaf, you're making them inferior and making your so-called Mahdi greater. So you can see the foolishness of that argument and so forth. So that is what is there. So what we must do now, so the listeners must get the full picture. So that is their main belief of Imamat. Then you come, now I'm going to just take you through very easily. Quran Sharif, we say, is the direct speech of Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala protected it, preserved it, and so forth. 6,236 verses, 114 chapters. The Shia say that there are 17,000 verses and so forth. And this is written in Usul Utafi. So already straight away that is kufr. You must remember that. And our people, Sunni, sometimes they get carried away. They say the Shias can become Hafiz, all that is lies. So I saw myself how they become Hafiz and that. So we must be very careful. We mustn't make a statement which must remember is not true. So to say Shias don't become Hafiz is wrong. They're totally wrong. So they become Hafiz, sometimes better than us. They know all the verses by heart and the numbers of the verses by heart also. You ask them any verse, he'll tell you this surah and this number and so forth. So that's the first issue. Second issue, that you come to Adalatu Sahaba. We say that Almighty Allah has forgiven all the Sahaba and given them Jannat al-Firdaus. And this is in Quran Sharif. وَقُلُّ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى Chapter 57, verse 10. And they say majority of them, Allah forgot, 90-95% of them, Kafaru Wartaddu. Khomeini has written clearly on this. Again, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar and all of them. Go open Kashful Asrar, go open Hukuma Islamiya, go open his books and so forth. So that is the unanimous belief of the Shias that only few Sahaba are Muslim, the rest are Murtad, Allah forbid. So they're going directly against the Quran. So remember, so that is why also they are kufr. Third, you come to the Sunnah, the Ahadith Mubarakah. So they reject 99% of it because 90% of it comes to the Sahaba. So how you are going to say the others will be ahadith Qudsiyah and so forth. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah ta'ala says, but the chain, you must remember, is sahaba and so forth. And they reject that. So they say they're not even Muslim. So how are they going to accept our hadith? So our Quran they don't accept. Our sunnah they don't accept. Our sahaba they don't accept. Then when I was there in Iran, and I still have that book, we say there are four schools in jurisprudence. They say al-fiqhu al-madhaib al-khamsa. So you must remember fiqh must be according to the five mazhabs. So what are the five mazhabs? Hanafi, then you have Shafi'i, Malik, Hanbali, they say Ja'fari. They say. So that is how they make propaganda and so forth. So I ask them what is in the Ja'fari fiqh. So I open the masla of mut'ah. So I find there that Khomeini writes, you can make muta prostitution for 1 hour. You see that? So that is written in Tawdihul Masail. And after that, there's no inheritance, no nothing between the boy and the girl. It's prostitution. And it's written in Khomeini's book, Zubdatul Ahkam. So you see all these things there. So many examples you can give. I haven't found a single chapter. From Kitabul Taharat, from Kitabul Hudu, right up to Kitabul Miras. You start from the beginning to the ending where we agree with the Shias. Our Hudu is different. Our Salat is different. Our Siyam is different. Our fasting, Namaz, our Hajj, our Kalima is different. Our Adhan is different. So everything is different. So much so, these haramis, these shaitans, you understand, kuffar, they even allow, you must remember, they can sodomize their wives and all these kind of things there. And today people want to say they are Muslim. The way they swear and first say Abu Bakr, say Umar, say Usman, say Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhum, and Azwaji Mutahharat, they say the Aisha radiallahu anha, say the Hafsa radiallahu anha. Because of the intense hatred, you must remember this. So once you understood all this, now you come to Karbala and so forth. So what is that? So regarding Karbala, this is the Shia perspective. Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, is not important from time of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, Yawmun Azim, Najjallahu fihi Musa wa Qawma, wa Ghabaka Fir'auna wa Qawma. The 10th Muharram Ashura became important because of Shahadat Hussein, because of the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. So tonight is the night of Friday. Tomorrow is the day of Friday. If a person passes away, what you will say? You will say that Allah elevated that person, he or she passed away with Iman, Islam on a Friday. Or that person passed away there in Medina Munawwara or Makkah Mukarrama. So you won't say Makkah became important, Medina became important because of his or her demise. You will say Allah elevated. But they twist everything around and they say that you must remember that this whole 10th of Muharram Ashura, it gained momentum, importance, significance because of the Shahadat and martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. Now if you go, in their books you will find that it's written, you must remember that 72 people passed away, right, in that battle. So we have no problem with that. But they only speak of one person, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. If you go and study the profile, the life history of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, while she was married to Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. When did he marry Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha? In the second year of the Hijrah. And that was in the month of Ramadan. And when did Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha pass away? She passed away on the 3rd of Ramadan in the 11th year of the Hijrah, 6 months after the demise of Mustafa Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After that, he got married several times. If you read the books of the Shias, Mas'udi, Yahubi, all of them, the history books, you will find he got married more than 20 times according to them. And he had several children. What did he name his children? One, Muhammad bin Hanafiya. So Muhammad Hanafiya is now towards the wife. And then Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, and some of them participated in the Battle of Karbala. Some of them became Shaheed and Shuhada in the Battle of Karbala. So how come Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala who loves Sayyidina Abu Bakr, loves Sayyidina Umar, loves Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu, and all that he did, and what happens? That the Shias, they curse them and they send La'anat and all these things here. Second one, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, his daughter, Salama radiallahu anha, so remember he gives her in nikah to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now imagine all these things here. So this happened, you must remember. But the Shia say no. When you study, they didn't know how to answer. So they say, Allah forbid, Allah forbid. They say, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he made a ghasab of her. He usurped her and stole her and all that. Can a person believe all such type of blasphemy and kufr and so forth? So you must understand these things here. Yesterday I was studying Akhbar-e Umar by Allama Tantawi rahimahullah. And in there he wrote, Qissa to Umar wa Ahlul Bayt, the story of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu and Ahlul Bayt. He says one day Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he went to his father to visit him. His father said, go away, I'm very busy, I got no time. And then Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was outside. So he, Abdullah ibn Umar, told him that for Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, this is what happened. And then after that, you must remember, then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu met Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu and said, why you don't visit me? He said, but when your own son visited you, he said, you're so busy, you don't have time. He said that that's true, I'm busy, but you know that you are dearer to me and more beloved to me than my own son, Abdullah, and you come anytime you want to. This is Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's justice. This is Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's mahabba and love for the Ahlul Bayt, can we imagine? So these are the things that we should understand and so forth and so on. Not the hasbara. Hasbara is the term the jutnas, haramis use for propaganda. That's why I always say, take a 2 rand coin, 5 rand coin. One side you put the Jutlas, the Jews, on the other side you put the Shias. For us, both of them are the same. They're both our enemy. Shaykhul Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah wrote in his Fatawa Kitab that these people, the Shias, they are even worse upon us, upon the Muslims, against the Muslims, then the Jews and the Christians. And he wrote a masterpiece book, Minhajul Sunnah, against them, against the Kuffar, Shi'ah, and so forth. So there are so many books written and so forth, you must remember. So when we speak and you want to break their arguments on every point, then look at their books and look at the books which they have written, and then you will see they won't be able to answer. Same thing I did when I went to Iran. I had no books. I just went as a tourist visitor and a secret investigating journalist. I like that term, secret investigating journalist. I just made like I know nothing like that. My eyes and ears were wide open to see what is happening and so forth, because I know it's once in a lifetime thing. They'll never allow me again. And if they get a hold of me, they might even shoot me and so forth. So the point I'm making here is this: Allah Ta'ala gave us this opportunity and we can speak ala basiratin. Laysa al-khabaru kal-mu'ayana, that, you know, you can read, but it's not like witnessing and seeing. The hadith also teaches us, Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad. So when you see it, then you will know how they exactly do things and so forth. So that is what we must remember. And we take the Sunni perspective, so that is what I do now. So you must remember the first day in Spine Road, I spoke about the important events of the month of Muharram. Now, yesterday we spoke about, from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time, that what happened every year after the Hijrah, and what happened during the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiallahu anh, what happened during the time of Sayyidina Umar Farooq, Amirul Mu'mineen, radiallahu anh. Tonight we will speak about, inshallah, what happened during the time of Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Ali, radiallahu anh. And then the time of Amir Muawiyah, and then we come to the Shahadat of Sayyidina Hussein, that will be tomorrow night. And then the burning question is that who martyred and who murdered Sayyidina Hussein, radiallahu ta'ala. This is the question always. And you, the ulama, in all parts of the world, whether you're lecturing tonight, you're lecturing tomorrow, Jummah, you're lecturing tomorrow night, so remember, this is the question you must ask. And I take this page with me everywhere. And when I give lectures, and I give it to the people who know Arabic and so forth, I say, go read all this. There are 3-4 different references from the Shia books, you must remember. Man qatala al-Husayn. Who martyred and who murdered Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an. So that is our Sunni perspective, not from our own pocket and emotional talk and the Shia narrative and so forth, and cursing people like Amir Muawiyah, you lose your iman, you start cursing Sahaba and so forth and so on. So we must be very careful. You see, this is the Jews and their propaganda. When you have a lie, you must lie so much and repeat it, so people start believing it. Easy example I give you, if you ask the Jutlas, the Haramis, the Israelis, where are the borders? You know they don't have a constitution, therefore they have all these big rows and ructions going on. If you ask them, where are your borders today? They will say, no, it's disputed borders. It's nothing disputed. It's all illegal borders. It's all, you must remember, occupied territory. You came as squatters. You came as invaders. If Putin went into Ukraine, he's a war criminal. So how come you came into the country and took over the whole country and so forth, and you are not super terrorists? You are not war criminals. You are occupation is terrorism. It's a simple thing. But they play with words. No, it's disputed borders, you see. So that is how they play the mind game. Lie. And the Western media will keep on using this. So every time when they speak, you must measure their words. You must understand their terminology. And that, and then our Muslim idiots and fools, sufaha, you understand? So majority of them who are in the media don't even understand this thing there. If you go to the Arab world, they use the same words, you must remember this. There they use and so forth and all this. There they will start calling Hamas and them terrorists and so forth. So that is how they start speaking, you must remember that. So that is why we must be very careful. And we must always use the correct terms, and we must say it as it is. So inshallah, we go for a break, and then after that, we'll speak a little bit about Karbala, inshallah.
Inshallah, we'll meet our listeners after the break.
The voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
We welcome our honorable listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. Mufti Saab, why do some Sunni ulama carry the Shia narrative and what should we be actually promoting?
You see, if we see some of our senior ulama 50, 60 years ago, you could hardly find a Shia book. They used to make taqiyah, they used to make kitman, they used to hide it, conceal it, and so forth and so on. Those ulama who went to Iran in those days, then they managed to come out with some kitabs and so forth. But now if you look at the real politics in the past 20, 30 years and so forth, after the Khomeini Iranian Persian Revolution 79, so now they have become very, very bold. You just have to go on internet and see all their books. Every one of them are there. You can read it yourself. You don't have to purchase it, nothing. Why? They have captured half or quarter of the strategic places in the Arab world. Let's go and see Iraq. That Iraq that was ruled, you must remember the Abbasid dynasty, Khalifa Harun Rashid and all of them. That Iraq where Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, Piran-e-Pir Hazrat Sayyidina Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani nawallahu marqadu. So all are there. So that Iraq, when I went in 2000, so it was 100%. This is the truth. We also must know that. It was majority Shia at that time. But the president of Iraq, Saddam Hussein al-Shaheed, rahimahullah, we make dua for Saddam Hussein. He was a Sunni. He died as a martyr. He died with kalima on his tongue. And he never allowed any kafir, kuffar, Shia to raise his ugly head. Remember that. So therefore, we must remember that there was majority already. But there was never a person who could speak against the Sahaba and swear them and so forth. So Iraq is already theirs. Iran is already theirs. I'll speak about Iran just now, come back to it. Take the Arab countries. Then go to Lebanon, Lebanon. So you see Hezbollah is there. In reality, the Hezbollah Shaitan. So Sheikh Yusuf Tardawi said the Hezbollah Shaitan also. After he realized his mistakes, he used to speak of unity, unity. When he went to Iran, then he saw in Kashan that what they built there, the shrine of the murderer of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh and Fairuz Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi, then he said, I wasted my life in speaking of unity. That then he started calling these people Hezbollah Shaitan and so forth. You come to Syria, majority of the people are Sunni, but the governing party there, so the Ba'ath party and so forth, 100% Shia. Not only Shia, one of the worst type of Shia, the Alawi Shia, for them to murder the Sunnis and rape our women, Allah forbid, they say is a great ibadat and all that, and a great act of worship. So Syria is under control by Bashar Assad, his father, Hafiz Assad, all Pakka, 100% Kufar. So Lebanon is under their control, Hezbollah. And then you take Iraq is under their control. And then you take Yemen today is also under the control. So four countries, they're already controlling. Allahumma barik lana fi Yemenina under their control. Allahumma barik lana fi Shamina under their control. And Khomeini said also, we can never rest till we take control of the Haramain Sharifain, you see. So that is the ultimate aim, that they want control of Makkah Mukarrama, Madinah Munawwara. And with these Saudis, the way they're carrying on now, then la in shakartum la azidannakum. If you make shukr, then I will increase my bounties and favors for you. And that if you are grateful, wala in kafartum, and if you are ungrateful, inna adhabi la shadid, then Allah will punish you. So they will lose everything. So they will be losing everything very soon, inshallah, either the Mahdi comes or either the Shias come and so forth and so on. So we must always be aware and make dua, all might Allah protect the Haramain Sharifain from the Shias, min kulli su'in makruh, and all forms of haram activities and so forth. Take Iran. Iran, if you study Gregorian calendar, around the year 640, 40, 640, became a Sunni country. Look at their contribution to Islam. So in the field of hadith, take Sahaba, Salman Farsi, he's a Persian. So remember, he's from this part of the world. Then you take a hadith, Imam Ibn Majah from Qazwin, that is in Iran. Then you take Imam Muslim, he's from Nisapur. Nisapur, you must remember, is in Iran. So like that, they made so much khidmat. You take Imam Abu Hanifa, Rahimahullah, his forefathers from Iran. You take Pirani, Pir Hazrat Sayyidina Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Rahimahullah, his forefathers from Iran. So like that, you will find so many great people. You will find Sahaba, you will find Tabi'in, you will find Awliyaullah, you will find Fuqaha, Jurists, all from Iran and great contribution. But then in the year 1500, this is the old trick people play. Until today, they play the same trick. So Ismail Safavi came there in 1501 to Iran. And then the Safavi regime. So then they said he's a big Zakir. And he's a big Sufi, and he makes zikr and so forth. Then he had thousands of murids and students and disciples and so forth. Then whatever he would tell them, they would believe. When he realized he has built up enough support, first thing they did, Ismail Safavi and them after 1501, was go to the Sunni ulama, and you murder them and kill them. Mm. So that is how it changed from a Sunni country to a Shia country in the year 1501 Gregorian calendar till now. So it means 523 years ago, approximately, Iran became, you must remember, Faris. We call it in Arabic. So you must remember, we say Muharram. We say now Muharram, 1445. I told you, everything is different. Our kalima is different, adhan is different, salat is different, siyam, fasting, hajj, fast, everything different. They are new year, they call it Nowruz. Nowruz means new year. If you just Google it, you will see their new year starts on the 21st of March, you see. So again, you can see that everything is different there. You must remember these things there. So that is how Iran came, and then what Modi and them are doing now in India. So that is what the Shia Kuffar did. Every big Nishani, sign and symbol of Ahlul Sunnah wa Jama'ah, slowly, gradually, they demolished it, now Nishan, you won't find it. I told you the other day, that if you go to Tehran, next to Tehran is a place called Ray. So there Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani is buried there. He came to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah to study when he was 14 years old, 1-4. He studied by Imam Malik rahimahullah for 3 years. He's the ustad of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. That is Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani rahimahullah. He's buried there in Ray. I went to Ray and go ask anybody there. Sunni Shia way is buried. Nobody. Might find one person in a million. So remember that, who knows? But generally nobody knows. So that is what they do. They remove it. It must go out of the hearts and minds of people and so forth. But the foolish Sunni today speaks of Shia and Sunni. We are all brothers and we must make unity. You can't have unity on batil and so forth. So we must be clear on that issue as well. So now, what has happened? Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passes away. Sayyidina Umar Farooq passes away. Sayyidina Ali Usman radiallahu anhu passes away. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is martyred on the 17th of Ramadan, the 40th year, by Abdul Rahman bin Muljib. And then Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu becomes the Khalifa for 6 months. Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith which I am quoting now is in Bukhari Sharif. Inna ibni hadha sayyidun. That my son, grandson, meaning, is a leader. لَأَلَّ اللَّهَ أَيُسْلِحَ بِهِ بَيْنَ فِيَتَيْنِ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ Allah Ta'ala will use him for the reconciling of two big parties. And you see, after 6 months, in the year 41, he resigned. He himself left Iraq. He went to Damascus. And then he handed over the Khilafah to who? To them, you must remember that they, to say Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, his own people, they told him, you are Muzill al-Muslimin. You brought ar to us. So he said, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu used to say, al-ar khayru min al-nar. What you call in disgrace is better than, you must remember, than the fire. and quoting to you from the Shia kitab. You must remember that he used to tell them, this is, you must remember, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an. He says that Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, who that is better than me, wallahi, that Mu'alukatiltu Muawiyah and all these type of things, so then it should be problem. So meaning that he is better for me than you are, because you are the people. See what he says here. That he says that خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَيَّكْتُلُونِي فَيُبَيُّ أَهْلَ بَيْتِي, that better than you, Kufar Shias, you want to kill me and you want to destroy the Ahlul Bayt. This is the book here of the Shias and so forth. Go open Ihtijaj, you will find all this Ibarat and text there. So even he said, the Hassan told them, that Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu is better compared to all of them with the intentions they got to do. So Amir Muawiyah rules this Ummah from 41 right up to the year 60. You must remember that is now almost 20 years, 19 years and a half, 19 and a half approximately. So one ruler, one Khalifa, everybody took bay'ah on his hand. That's Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein, senior Sahaba all. And for 19, 20 years, he was the Khalifa, Amirul Mu'mineen, and the Ummah flourished. Remember, today we speak of Afghanistan. Only two people conquered Afghanistan. One was Sayyidina Usman radiallahu an, and one was Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu an, those time. And if you open Abu Dawood, you will find the word Kabul mentioned there also, in Abu Dawood. Anyway, so all that happens. In the year 4950, now all our Maulvis and people who are fence-sitters, sitting on the fence, you must quote to them this hadith here. Babu ma qila fi qitali Rum. That is a chapter there regarding the war against the Romans and so forth and so on. And after that is qitalul Yahud, Bukhari Sharif. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith mentioned on the authority of Ummi Haram. She says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, awwal jayshi min ummati yaghzun al-bahar. That the first army to go and travel by the ocean and go here and there, that ojabu. For them, Jannat is assured, inshaAllah. So that after that unanimously happened for Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And remember during the reign of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu. Then the second part of the same hadith. أول جيش من أمتي يغزون مدينة قيصر مغفور لهم. The first army that will go there to the city of Istanbul, Constantinople, Qaisar, whatever you want to call it, Medina da Qustuntinia is mentioned. So Medina da Qustuntinia. So they'll go there. So you must remember that what will happen, مغفور لهم, they're forgiven. So who was the first party? Yazid, the son of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. So we are not defending him. So he did certain things which we don't agree. But what is the truth you must speak? So here the hadith is saying, go open Fathul Bari, go open this thing here. You must remember Umdatul Qari, the Allama Badruddin Aini. Go open Kashful Bari and all that of our Ustad Azimu Salimullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and see what they all wrote and so forth and so on. So the propaganda is there. And you know who was there? Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. That when he realized, you know, passed away, he made wasiyat that he, Yazid, must perform my salatul janazah. So till the year 4950, there was no problem. Then afterwards, when Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu appointed Yazid as his waliul ahd, you must remember as his deputy and said, after my demise, he will rule. So yes, senior Sahaba objected on it, some of them and so forth. And others accepted it also and so forth. So no fitna takes place and so. So that is where the problem came. And thereafter, you must remember that when Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala left Makkah on the 8th of, you must remember, Zulhijjah, the day people were going from Makkah to Mina, the 60th year of the Hijrah, then Sahaba came, Abdullah bin Abbas came, Abdullah bin Zubair came, and so many Sahaba, Abdullah bin Umar came, said, please don't go. These are the same people who martyred your father. These are the same people who injured your brother. These are the same people that are Ghaddar, Ahlul Iraq, Ahlul Nifaq. We can't say for everybody, but you say many of them, the Munafiqeen, Al-Kufi, La-Yufi, they won't be there. But Tadbir would have it, he went and so forth. And then remember, when he reached there, then Yazid is sitting in Damascus. So he was not directly involved. Ibn Ziyad was the governor there. And you must remember, go study all of it and you will see. He said three options. Sayyidina Hussein said three options. Number one, give me freedom to go back to where I came. I go back to Makkah, Medina. I came from there. Second one, leave me, I'll go to the Hudud and the Suhud. I'll become a Mujahid and fight for the Muslim army. Or third one, let me go and meet Yazid. If you look at all the riwayats, you will see Wamasha, he walked in that direction, let me go. But they didn't allow him. Then I give you this. All you Sunnis, all you Ahlu Sunnah wa Jama'ah, who murdered Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu? You know, this is from the horse's mouth, we say in English. This is from the Shia kitabs. Everything I'm going to speak now, I'll give you the reference. Inna al-Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wa salam rafaha yadayhi wa daha ala shiatihi. Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala raised his hands and remember he cursed the Shias. Allahumma in matta'atau milahin. He made dua, Ya Allah, if you give them life for the Shias, فَفَرْضِكُمْ فِرَقَا وَاجْعَلْهُمْ تَرَائِكَ تِدَدَا وَلَا تَرُضَ الْغُلَاتُ عَنْهُمْ عَبَدَا. Make them splinter, splinter groups. Never be happy with them. Never let their leaders be happy with them. So they called us, they gave da'wah to us, the owner, and then ثُمَّ عَدَوْ عَلَيْنَا. Then they become our enemies. فَقَتَلُونَا. They are the ones who are murdering us. This is by Sheikh Mufid. The book's name is Al-Irshad. Okay? Second one, you go and see in A'yanu Shia what is written. You must remember that. That Sayyid Muhsin Al-Amin writes there. The Bay Al-Hussein min Ahl al-Iraq Ishruna Alfa. 20,000 Kufar Shia took the Bay'ah on the Mubarak hand on Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu and said, Kharaju alayhi, and then they turned against him. Wa bay'atuhu fi anaqihim, 20,000 didn't break the bay'ah, it was still on their necks. Wa qataluhu, and they martyred him and murdered him. A'yanu shi'a, or Sayyid Muhsin al-Amin, you see. These are their books, none of our books there. Then, who is the eyewitness? Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, his beloved son, Zainul Abidin. You can say Imam Zainul Abidin, we say Sayyid al-Sayyid Zainul Abidin, so all that is fine. He says that you Shia, al ta'alamun annakum katabtum ila abi, you wrote to my father letters, then waqadaltumu, and then you left him, and all these type of things, and then thumma qataltumu, you fought him, and then waqadaltumu, tomorrow what will you do? بأي عين تنظرون إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ويقول لكم. Tomorrow the master, tomorrow day of justice, Mustafa صلى الله عليه وسلم will tell you, قاتلتم رتي, you murdered my grandson. What will you say? And وانتهكتم حرمتي, you desecrated our exalted rank. فلستم من أمتي, you don't belong to this ummah, you out, you kuffar. Hazrat Zainul Abidin's fatwa mentioned by Allama Tabrasi, that's how they call him, in the book's name Ihtijaj, and I have a book which they gave me, it's called Imam Zainul Abidin by Muassasatul Balagh, and in there you will find the same text. That they printed it, and in there is written the kuffar. That Sayyidina Zainul Abidin says, Nabi alayhi salam will tell them that you are the ones. Now my 10th Muharram will come, they crying and beating themselves. Inna ha'ulai yabkuna alayna. So they start crying, crying. Faman qatalana ghayruhum. But who murdered us beside them? Who murdered us beside them? They are the murderers. They martyred my father, and that again al-ihtijaj, you must remember this thing here. Second eyewitness is Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu's daughter. His beloved mother is Fatima al-Kubra. His beloved daughter is Fatima al-Sughra. What did he say after the martyrdom of her father? Like how Sayyidina Zainul Abidin, she told him, Ya Ahl al-Kufa, imid Ya Ahl al-Shia, Ya Ahl al-Ghadr, wal-Makr, wal-Khuyala, O you people of deception, O you people of arrogance, You are the ones that you murdered us, and you are the one who killed my father and grandfather. Your swords are still filled with the blood of them. And tabbal lakum and la'natullah alaykum. Today, what is your, that you are the ones that you killed my father and my grandfather. Kama qataltum jaddana bil ams. That today you killed my father, and in the previous time you killed my grandfather. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. What did this kuffar say? It's not our books, it's their books. Tabrasi writes that the kuffar people started reading poetry. Nahnu katalna aliyan wa bani aliyan bisuyufin hindiyatin wa rimahi. We are the ones who murdered Sayyidina Ali. We are the ones who murdered Sayyidina Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anhumah. Allah forbid, they were proud of it. And we used the swords and the spears they made in India. So what bigger evidence you want than this when the Shia kitabs have it? So therefore ulama, therefore lecturers, and that don't carry the Shia narrative. You're putting your own iman. You must remember, halfway out already, that you are not saying the truth. You are carrying the Shia narrative, and then you start cursing Amir Muawiyah and so forth. Then you go right out of the fall of Islam. So that is what we must believe in, and so forth and so on. So may Almighty Allah protect our iman, and to pass the fatwa that Shia the kuffar is Ainul Iman, and to say silent, to remain silent and so forth, is a sign of traitors and is a sign of people who are khaddar and traitors to Islam. And we'll be always saying that, remember. Allah Ta'ala protect us all. Ameen. Tonight, inshallah, we will be in Masjid Mahmood in Clear Estate, Isha Salat 7:15. And then, inshallah, the Kiraat and Na'at and Nazm and what have you. And thereafter, inshallah, will be the lecture. May Almighty Allah preserve and protect our iman and make our khatima bil khair. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ahlan wa sahalan marhaba.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio. Empowering the Ummah.